Waded into a river is a bit generous. I wore the wrong shoes, so after one step into the water, my ankles were soaked and I retreated to the riverbank. Luckily, John Vanderwerf had the right gear. Waders, a giant net, and of course, a homemade fish trap.
In the trap, we're looking for two specific fish in the river herring group called alewife or blueback herring.
Vanderwerf is a fish biologist with Save the Sound, and as I dangle over the edge of a riverbank, he says these small fish are hugely important.
All of these animals depend on these river herring, these alewife and blueback herring as a food source. So if they're deleted from the ecosystem, the entire food chain can collapse.
He says everything from tuna and seals to ospreys and great blue heron depend on these fish, which return to freshwater from the ocean to spawn. Kind of like a salmon does, but
they're a little bit cooler than a salmon because they have a salmon-like migration. Adult life in the ocean, but then they spawn inland. But they can do it multiple times. A salmon only does it once.
But for years, a dam stopped these fish from going upstream. In 2015, it was removed to mitigate local flooding concerns following Hurricane Sandy and also to help these fish return. Today, Vanderwerf checks his trap to see just how many are coming back.
I was here a little earlier and there are fish there, so we'll see what's in there.
Stepping into the water, he wades around the fish cage made out of rebar and fencing. It's all MacGyvered together with ties and carefully placed in the river.
It's deep enough to protect the fish from predation, so we don't want birds to get in there, we don't want a snake to get in. So we need a spot a little bit deep enough for them to be protected. We want slow flow, so we're not asking them to stay on a treadmill for an extended amount of time.
Vanderwerf says he comes out 6 days a week and checks the traps. Any fish caught are recorded and released immediately upstream. But he says the no-fish days can be slow.
You're just staring at it. Is that a fish? Nope, that was algae. Is that a fish? Nope, that's a shadow. Oh, that one's a rock.
Today, he says he thinks he sees a sunfish in there, one of those small fish that kids catch. He dips his net in the water and starts poking around.
I thought there was a fish in here.
But after a few minutes of staring, he decides the sunfish
got stage fright
and escaped through the front of the trap. So today, the news isn't great. No fish. But that wasn't terribly surprising. During our visit, he says he's seen no alewife or blueback herring all year at this spot. It's a bit of a mystery, because last year, he says he counted around 200 alewives here, which raises some interesting questions.
Where'd they go? What's going on? What happened to them?
He says ocean conditions, fishing, and just the year-to-year volatility of these runs could all be a factor. But bottom line, scientists don't know. At least not yet.
The only way to answer these questions is keep researching. The more research, the more people care about this, is how these questions get answered.
Shortly after the visit, I messaged Vanderwerf to ask if the Woodbridge spot turned up any fish. I was honestly shocked, he replied, saying he'd spotted three alewives just days later. A surprising late-season revelation, and a sign that scientists still have a lot to learn about the mysterious migrations of these small but important fish. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Patrick Scahill.